B-Pod Studios.
A man that inspires many, most importantly, the Philadelphia Flyers and that fan base. He's getting ready to go to one of the hub cities in Toronto, obviously, here for the NHL. He's got his team back together. Lots going on surrounding the Flyers. We're joined right now by the head coach and Jack Adams finalist, Alain Vigneault. What's up, coach?
Good, real good. Real happy to be back. And our guys are working real hard here to get ready to move on to Toronto.
I don't doubt that. When you look at a team like this one that just came back together, Alain, first off, what was it like getting those guys back in the building for the first time?
You know, it was real good. Oscar was there for our first meeting where, you know, the first thing that we talked about was, you know, we've got to stay safe. And that's first and foremost. If we want to make it to Toronto, the hub city, we've got to stay safe while we're here in Philly. So we talked about that. We talked about the NHL protocol. And then we talked about what we want to do is get on the ice, work hard, get our system in place here so that we can get back to where we were prior to the shutdown. So we've got a month before our first game on August the 11th. We don't know who our opponent's going to be, but we do know that's going to be our first date. We've got four games, one exhibition games, and three games to reseed. So we're excited. We're going to put in the work. We're going to put in the time on and off the ice, and we're going to get a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. That was our first goal coming into this year, and we've attained that. Now we've got to get our second goal. Second goal is to win that first series. Move on to the second, et cetera, et cetera.
Speaking with Alain Vigneault, you mentioned Oscar Lindblom. I know all of the Philadelphia Flyer fan base, all of the Philadelphia sports fan base, players included. And I know the Flyers put out the video of him walking up to ring that bell for the last time. What was that like for you as his head coach and really for the entire dressing room to see him do that?
You know, it was an incredible moment. Oscar went through this, you know, not complaining. He had some challenging moments, but, you know, he fought them head on. He had great support from his teammates, from the fans, from across the league. Hockey is a great community, and, you know, you saw a lot of other players from other teams come in, buy some T-shirts, very supportive. You know, it was something serious that our team, you know, rallied around to support him the best way we can. Best doctors in the world that did an amazing job here in Philly. I'm so thankful. Everybody's so grateful. And now we're moving on. He's healthy, and hopefully in the near future, he'll be back on the ice with his teammates. He's got to get his strength up right now, but he'll be back on the ice at some point and be back playing hockey.
Alain, the whole team, you guys were red hot right before the shutdown. You just had a 9-game winning streak that was halted right before the shutdown against the Boston Bruins, obviously. But how do you try to regain some of that momentum for the startup?
Well, by doing exactly what we're doing right now. I mean, you can't feel sorry for where we were. I mean, obviously we were one, if not the hottest team in the league at the time, but with what's going on in the world right now, and, you know, people losing their jobs, some losing their business, it being very challenging, we have no right to complain. We are the exact same thing as everybody else, starting at the exact same point. Let's put in more work, put in more preparation, put in more time, and we'll get back to where we were. We were one of the best teams from November the 1st on. Boston Bruins had 80 points, us in Tampa at 78. We're a good team. We're a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, and we're going to get a chance to prove that.
Alain, when you took over this team and you talk about a system and you come in and you have a system that you want to put into place, what was it about the talent of this Flyers team that made you think the system was going to be really good? Like, what did you tap into from the team that you inherited?
Well, two things for me that come to mind. A veteran group that, in my mind, had a lot to prove. Hadn't made the playoffs again the year prior. And a lot of young guys coming into the system that hadn't reached their full potential yet. You combine those two with, you know, whether you want to call it the system or, I'd rather call it making people accountable. You know, I got in there and I talked about certain standard of ethic and preparation. and things that we needed to do as a group on a daily basis that would bring us to success. And our guys bought into that. They bought into the plan. They applied the system, obviously, that the coaching staff brought forward, because I've got an unbelievable experienced staff. But it was more about keeping themselves, keeping each and every one accountable, accountable to your teammates, accountable to your line mates, and moving forward. I really believe that's the key to any success anywhere. It's about the respect that's needed within an organization to move forward, to become the best that you could be, and that's what we're striving to do.
Elaine, when you get the job and you know you're taking over a group, did you scout this team? Did you go back and look at what they were, knowing what you wanted to put forward? How did you handle that?
You know what? I didn't look at one single game of the past. I came in here, and I told this last year at my press conference. I came here with an open mind, a fresh mind. I obviously knew the veteran players from coaching against them in the past, but I wanted everybody to have a clean slate, come in and show what they could do on the ice, show what they could do as far as their will to win and their dedication to becoming the best pros that they could be. And that's what we did. Gave everybody a clean slate. They came in. We worked real hard. We had a challenging month of October, partly because of the toughness of our schedule. We had to go to Europe. We had to go out west. But I think that helped us. We made us spend a lot of time together, got to know everyone a little bit quicker. And from, like I said, from November the 1st, we were on one of the two best teams in the NHL.
Speaking with Lane Vigneault, the one thing we try not to lose sight of is that these guys are human. And you gave them a great perspective, saying no room to complain. But like, I think about a guy, just as an example, Claude Giroux, who's got a young son at home and he's leaving his family. How are guys handling that so far in the early goings, having to be away from their families?
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, it's going to be hard to be away from your kids and from your parents and from your friends. But, you know, this could be anywhere from, you know, a month to three in a lifespan where, you know, you get a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. There's some sacrifices to be made. We know they're not easy, but you don't get a chance to compete for this cup every year. It's tough to make the playoffs. You know, next year there'll be 32 teams. 16 of them are going to get in, 16 out. So it's tough. It's an 82 grinding game schedule, and you have to be at your best on most nights. That's how competitive the league is. Now we're into the playoffs. We're getting a chance to compete. We got a 3-month window here where we've got to maybe go a little bit above and beyond as far as sacrifices. But like I said, we can't complain with what's going on there, with us being given this opportunity, and we're going to be in one of the safest environments anywhere. So let's take this opportunity. Let's do our part. I said this a while back that I thought sports was going to be a way to get back to some form of normalcy. Hockey, baseball, basketball, football. Everybody loves their sport. I'm a believer in that anyway, and I think, you know, the Flyers, we've got a great following. People are getting excited about us going to the playoffs, and we don't intend to let them down. We intend to be ready and put our best foot forward.
Is there any way that this helps a 21-year-old who really doesn't know any better when it comes to the NHL playoffs, Carter Hart? Is there any way that this being so abnormal really doesn't affect him because he doesn't know anything else?
No, that's a great question. And my answer to that is, I don't know. Nobody knows. You know, this is all new to everyone, like playing in front of no fans. How's that going to be? I mean, nobody's ever done that. When you're growing up in minor hockey, at your games, you've got your parents, you've got your grandparents, you've got friends sometimes that come over. There's always, you know, a little cheering block there. This is going to be all new to everyone. So it's tough to say how people are going to react. In Carter's case, he's played some big games at other levels. He's a great young man, humble, you know, I like to say innocent. He's not corrupt by the system yet. You know, he's just enjoying life, enjoying coming to the rink. And everybody that gets to know him sees the quality of the young man. And I really believe that throughout his career, he's going to stay as humble as he is right now.
Elaine, talking about the empty arenas, the empty rinks, does that affect your coaching at all? Like, have you thought of things you might have to do differently because of it?
Well, I don't know if you've come to a lot of Flyer games or a lot of games where I've coached before, but I've got a squeaky loud voice that carries pretty well. So even though the rinks were full in the past, my players were pretty much capable of hearing me. So I suspect that with no fans in the room, they're going to hear me just fine now. So it's going to be even better for my directives from the bench.
Speaking with Elaine Vigneault, you mentioned how well the team was playing. You were getting a great season from Claude Giroux, getting a great season from Sean Couturier, a great season from Travis Konecny. Can those three continue that as well? I know the overall team, you said, needs to carry it on. How do those guys pick up from where they left off?
Well, you know, when you talk about whether it be Claude Giroux or Sean Couturier, Jake Voracek, I mean, those are key veteran guys. Those are the guys that teammates are looking towards, and us, the coaching staff, are looking towards as far as, you know, you got to bring it. You got to bring your best game here. This is best time of the year. You're playing for the playoffs. You're playing for the Stanley Cup. You can't look too far ahead. You got to stay in the moment and then take it one game at a time here. But those guys have got to bring it. They're the ones, by their play, by their commitment, by their will, that are going to take us to where we want to go. And, you know, just in these first three games, their attitude has been outstanding, and their work ethic on the ice is just what I expected. And guys are going to follow them, and those guys are going to lead the way.
Does it help at all that you get a rivalry in that exhibition game against the Penguins right out of the gate? Does it help almost to help the team focus in this new environment?
Yeah, I think it will, and it's going to give us a good indication of the new circumstances. So, you know, the games against Pittsburgh are always real intense. We play them, and then we've got a reseed with Boston, Washington, and Tampa Bay. So we're looking forward to it. We've got a few more days here in Philly where we're going to put in the time, the work, and the effort, and then move to Toronto and take it one game, one practice at a time to be ready for August the 11th.
What are your expectations for the Philadelphia Flyers in this reseed and tournament?
Well, we're in this to win. I mean, I came to Philly to win a Stanley Cup, and this is our first opportunity, first time. It's probably, in my estimation, maybe the toughest trophy to win. 16 wins, 16, four series, best of seven. You got to win your four games first. It's tough. This year, it's different circumstances. You start in Toronto. If you win, you play the first two rounds there, and then you move on to Edmonton for the conference final and the finals. Can't look too far ahead. Obviously, we have to look to August the 11th, but we're in this to win. We're in this to compete, put our best game on the ice, and I think our best game is going to give us a real good chance.
And Carter Hart, probably I know coaches hate going with numbers, but probably your number one guy?
Well, you know, with the way he's played throughout the year, and both our guys have played extremely well, I'm real confident in our duo here. But the way Carter has played throughout the year, he deserves the right to start. And, I haven't talked to either him or Brian about it. We'll see how those four games pan out there when we get to Toronto. But for now, all indications are that Carter would be the guy that we would start. He's played extremely well for us, like Brian has played. So we'll take it a game at a time, and we'll see how those guys do moving forward in Toronto.
Well, Elaine, Carter already won me a beer in a beer bet I had with my co-host here, Bob Cooney. So just let him know that I appreciate that. And if he wins the Stanley Cup, too, I'll take that. So that's fine.
If we win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be because we got an outstanding team effort. If you look at our group, some other guys, like, we don't have anybody in the top 30 in the scoring, whether it be on forwards, on D. We're in the top 10 as far as goals against and goaltending. But we're a team. Like, the sum of our parts are strong, and that's why I feel that we're a Stanley Cup contender. And I like the enthusiasm. I like our focus right now, and we're going to be ready.
Two quick ones for you, for me here, Coach. One is, what's the best thing you've done during quarantine?
best thing I've done during quarantine. Well, to tell you the truth, the best thing I did was when I got back to Canada, the first day that I was still out of quarantine, but I could go out. I went to see my parents. My parents were in a residence. My mom had just moved from staying with my dad on the fifth floor to the second floor. She's suffering from dementia and she needs 24-hour work. So I was able to go out on the front deck and see my parents. And this was in early May. It was freezing cold in Canada. And to see my parents and say hi, talk for a couple of minutes. That for me is I took a picture. It's a memory that I'm going to always remember. People in residence, older people, couldn't come out, couldn't do anything. It must have been a real challenging time for them. But for every day, my sister and I, we switched every other day. We went to see our parents, and that was pretty good.
That's incredible. And I know, as all good coaches, you hate talking about yourself, but I do have to ask you, a finalist for the Jack Adams Award, Coach of the Year, basically. We're all rooting for you for that. You would think you're a shoo-in, right?
Oh, you know what? You know, if there's one award out of all the awards that is really a team-oriented award, it's that one there. It means I've had an unbelievable staff. This is my fifth time. And if you look at all the staffs that I've worked with, they're all, you know, highly qualified, incredible people that make me look real good. But it also means that the organization is first class. And, you know, Philly, New York Rangers, Montreal Canadiens, Vancouver Canucks, unbelievable organizations that treat their people well. And this is for everybody. It's everybody working together, the organization, players and staff, to try and be the best that they can be.
Spoken like a great coach. Hey, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you before it's all said and done. We wish you nothing but the best. Thanks so much for coming on with us, Coach, and good luck not only in the playoffs and all that, but also in the Jack Adams Award finalists as well. Thank you so much, Lane. Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.